Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. This show is presented by Dr. Ben McMillan of the Neal Clinic, who's responsible for information and opinions expressed during the show.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Well, good morning, Jenna, and good morning, everyone out there joining us this morning. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor. I am also the owner of the Neal Clinic located on Creighton Road. This morning, I'm going to be continuing my talk from last week about that pain that travels from its source to other parts of your body. I'm also going to expand a little bit about our discussion of dry needling. I know I got into some of that last week, but we're going to continue to talk about that some because it's new and I'm excited about it. At the end of the show, if I have a little bit of time, we're going to talk about peanut butter and jelly. No, not really peanut butter and jelly, actually, but that's the first part of a title of a research paper that I was reading from this May issue of Arthritis Care and Research from American College of Rheumatology. Typically a pretty boring journal, but this title caught my eye. It was called Like Peanut Butter and Jelly, a Qualitative Study of Chiropractic Care and Home Exercise Among Older Adults with Spinal Disability. So pretty relevant, but I thought it was peanut butter and jelly. You know?
Hey, who turns down a decent peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Oh my goodness, one of my all-time favorites. You can't go wrong there.
Right, exactly. I love it.
But that's just the stuff that's on my mind this morning. If you're tuned in and listening with us and you have a chiropractic question that you want answered, send us a text message, and I'll try and get to your question this morning as well. What's the number for that then, Jenna?
Yes, please hop on into the conversation if you have a question for Dr. McMillan. The number is 850-437-1620. The text line is open.
Yeah, send those in. I love getting to your questions. We might as well make this practical to something that you may have wanted to have an answer to. All right, but let's get into it. So last week we were discussing how that pain or numbness or tingling that goes down your legs and sometimes into your feet, well, that can be the result of an irritated nerve root in your lower back. And we discussed how those nerves can be irritated from a variety of different causes, but that idea remains the same, right? The source of that problem is in your lower back. And I know even though most of those symptoms are felt down in your legs or your feet, That doesn't change where the issue is that we need to treat. Now, of course, there are several scenarios where pain or numbness in the legs or feet are caused by other issues that aren't in your lower back. You know, and that's why when you come into my clinic, we sit down and go over how your symptoms began, and then we do a thorough examination to determine what exactly the cause of your symptoms are. And, you know, if it turns out that your case isn't a chiropractic case, don't worry. I'm not going to send you back out on the streets just continuing to look for more answers in that crazy healthcare world. I'm going to refer you to the type of doctor or specialist that you need to see that will be able to help you with your condition. You know, sometimes these things can be caused by a vascular issue. Maybe the blood flow into your leg or foot is inadequate, and you'll need to go see a vascular specialist for this stuff. Typically, there's some swelling associated with that. We'll check some pulses. There's going to be some different symptoms with those that are going to allow me to differentiate it from that, you know, back or that leg pain that's caused from your lower back. These symptoms can also be due to a complication from diabetes. That's a really common one in our society these days. You may be having something called peripheral neuropathy. I bet if you've had diabetes or know anybody that has it, you've probably heard that term before. And if that's the case, and I think your foot pain or leg pain is caused by this peripheral neuropathy issue because of a complication from your diabetes, I'm going to refer you to an endocrinologist. But you know what? If it does turn out that your symptoms are being caused by an irritated nerve root in your lower back, well, guess what? You're already in the right place, and I'll be able to get you some relief. So if you or someone you know is having those symptoms, tell them to call their chiropractor or call the Neal Clinic, and so they can finally get some relief. So I also told you last week that we would discuss how a similar situation can occur in your neck. And instead of having those symptoms travel down into your legs and feet, it's going to cause the symptoms to develop in your arm or maybe around your shoulder blade and into your wrist and hands. These are called cervical radicular symptoms, and they're typically caused by one of two conditions. One of them is called cervical stenosis, and the second is called a cervical disc lesion. Today we're going to get more into the cervical disc lesions, and next week we'll get into a little bit about stenosis. But first let me talk a little bit about the structure of those discs in your spine. First of all, their purpose is to act sort of like a shock absorber for your spine. That way, when we're standing upright and we're vertical, our spinal vertebra, those bones, well, they're not just jamming together, right? They've got some cushion between them. They also allow us to bend and twist our backs more smoothly without, again, those bones just pushing up against one another. The body does not like that when that happens. I like to use the analogy of a jelly donut for the structure of this disc. We're getting into a lot of food stuff, peanut butter and jelly donuts. I must be hungry this morning. The outer layer, you know, where that doughy part of the donut would be, that's comprised of these layers of cartilaginous fibers, and they're all wrapped around this inner layer. That inner layer is made up of this, it's like a toothpaste-y like consistency material. It's not really like water, it's not like a liquid like that, it's a little thicker, but that's where the jelly would be. So you've got this outer shell layer of cartilage and that inner like jelly layer that's kind of like toothpaste. And over time, often due to these repetitive stresses, these outer fibers can become disrupted and they'll slowly start to separate. And that allows that inner layer to kind of push outward. Think about this for a second. Imagine if you have a jelly donut on the table and you press down on that, you know, that donut we're talking about. The jelly would move outward from the middle, away from that pressure that we're pushing down on it, and eventually, if you push hard enough, the jelly is going to burst through the donut at the nearest weakest point, right? Well, that same thing can occur to these discs. And when the disc becomes like misshaped and that inner layer is still contained, the jelly hasn't come out of the donut yet, they call those disc protrusions. But if a portion of that inner layer or the jelly is expelled outwards, they call it an extrusion. So a couple nomenclature things to get to. But these disc protrusions, these are really, really common actually. I read one study and it said that these protrusions may be present in up to 63% of males over the age of 40. That's a lot of people. I mean, these things are way more common than you would think. Now, I know it may sound like this is an excruciating thing, right? To have these discs compressed and fibers tearing. But fortunately for us and 63% of males over the age of 40, those inner layers of the discs, well, they don't have any nerve endings in them. So you actually don't really feel anything until that outer layer becomes compromised. Many of these protrusions, what happens is, depending on where they are, they're asymptomatic. But the question is, how does this asymptomatic condition, how does it get to cause all this pain down your arm and into your hand? And it's really a two-part answer, or kind of a two-part process, right? First, there's a physical component, and then there's a chemical component involved. Now, let me explain by what I mean to that. Often, when this occurs, the protrusion, they start small, but over time they may grow as more of those fibers become damaged. And this tissue damage initiates this local inflammatory response. It's kind of similar to how if you damage the ligaments in your ankle, whenever you've sprained an ankle before, right, it swells up. That's inflammation. And this inflammation, when it occurs in your neck, it really irritates those nerve roots that exit from the cervical spine. And once you've irritated those nerve roots, well, now you're going to start noticing those symptoms we've been discussing. And the nerve roots that exit from your cervical spine, well, they travel down into your arm, all the way down into your hand. They innervate the muscles of the shoulder and the upper torso. And what I hear all the time from these patients is that, you know, they haven't had any bad neck traumas, right? Most of the time, these aren't the patients that came in and said, hey, I dove into a shallow pool, or I had a really bad fall last week. And of course, those can result in disc lesions, but those are less common. That's because these lesions that I'm talking about are rarely the result of one single traumatic event. Unfortunately, the disc injury is kind of just the midpoint of that downward degenerative cycle that I'm always talking about. And that cycle begins with repetitive stresses and strains on your neck and cervical discs. And you won't notice anything at first, but it's going to lead to those discs protruding and causing inflammation, which will eventually lead to degeneration of your joints and discs. And that's because as we age, these things become more common because these discs become more brittle. When we're young, they're really hydrated. These discs are big. As we age, they lose a little of that viscoelastic property. And combined with repetitive stresses, and, you know, that's often from poor workstation postures or maybe prolonged vibration from stuff like operating heavy machinery or maybe driving a car, those things all weaken those fibers of your discs. So often when patients come in with a complaint of that pain traveling down their arm, I very rarely suspect they're going to come in and tell me how they fell off a roof and landed on their head, right? It's almost always someone that's been working at a desk or does repetitive motions for work. And that's because that's what the research shows that are the main risk factors for this stuff. Poor workstation posture, prolonged vibration, poor sleeping postures. It's all these repetitive things that we do over and over again. Well, those things add up over time. Okay, so now we know what's causing these symptoms in your arm or hand. So how do we fix it, right? That's what everybody wants to know. Well, that's really going to depend on what type of doctor you go see, right? If you go see your MD, your primary care provider, you'll go to their office and your next stop will be the pharmacy. You're going to be prescribed some sort of anti-inflammatory or a corticosteroid, maybe even a medication that was meant to treat seizures, but it's frequently prescribed for people with nerve pain. If you go see a neurosurgeon, they may discuss surgery, you know, but unless you're one of these very rare cases, the neurosurgeon's going to recommend around 6 months or so of conservative care before they really even recommend any sort of operation. All right, Jenna just told me we have a question coming in, so let's get to that for just a second. Now I'll pause this and we'll get back to our discussion. Somebody texted in and said, any idea why I hear a crunching sound from the lower back when doing abdominal crunches or leg lifts? Okay, number one, I got some thoughts on abdominal crunches that we'll get to in a second. But popping and noises coming from your back, right? That's a big question I get all the time. Can be a couple different things going on. There is a gas that builds up in between the joints in a fluid. So kind of like opening a Coke bottle that you get, right? You don't see any liquid, you don't see any bubbles in this liquid, but when you open that bottle, you release pressure and gas comes out of the liquid. Same thing can happen in your joints, right? There's liquid in there in the joints. If you release some of the pressure by moving them a certain way, the gas comes out of that liquid. It sounds like a pop, kind of like you do when you open that Coke bottle. This can also be because of some arthritis. Maybe you have some ligaments that are now calcified. So when they move or they, normally ligaments are not made of calcium. They're this softer cartilage material. But when they move over different parts of your bone or body, they can have this popping noise. As long as it's not painful, it's not that really big a deal. You'll know if it's a painful pop, that means you're injuring some tissue. So if that's a painful pop, you need to go get that checked out for sure. But if it's not painful, it's not that big a deal. About abdominal crunches, the goal with these crunches are to strengthen the abdomen, right? To get those abdominal muscles stronger, which is good. Sounds like this person's trying to build up some core strength. The big problem, and they're already seeming to notice, is that it compromises your lower back unnecessarily. There's a lot of really good ways to build abdominal and core strength without putting your back in a compromised position. And that's what I recommend. I really think the military is going to do away with those in the near future, because crunches can really do more harm than good if you don't do them properly or don't already have enough core strength. I like to use an exercise called a dead bug, or we'll use planks, things that keep your spine in a stable position while also building some core strength. Those are what I typically recommend to my patients, because again, we're protecting the back, because you don't really have to move it a lot when you're doing these dead bugs or planks, but we're still building core strength. Leg lifts are a really good one as well. Just make sure that lower back stays pressed flat into the floor when you're doing those, okay? All right, so back into the treatment options for these things. The MD, you're going to their office, then straight to the pharmacy. The neurosurgeon, you know, they may discuss that surgery for your neck, but again, they're going to make sure you at least have tried several months of conservative care before they recommend that. Again, unless you're one of those really rare cases that are a severe disc herniation or have some other complication that is require surgery, they're going to want to see that you've tried all these other options first. Now for some good news about these disc lesions. These patients respond very well to the type of conservative care that chiropractors use, and I treat this condition every week. Last week I met with a new patient who works in IT for a big company in Pensacola, and he was complaining of these exact symptoms. He had a little achy sensation in his neck, but his main complaint was this pain traveling down his arm and to his hand. This week when he came in for his appointment, he brought with him one of his coworkers who was having really similar symptoms, and he had told his friend how much relief he had already gotten and recommended the treatments to his coworker, and now they're both able to do their jobs with less pain and discomfort that was making their job every single day really uncomfortable. And these are guys that are the, you know, that's the stereotypical thing, right? These guys sit at a desk all day, every day. They're looking down, they're typing a lot. That's the kind of patients that get these things really frequently. So what exactly will your chiropractor do to treat this condition? Well, our first job is to reduce the amount of pain and local inflammation to kind of calm down those irritated nerves. At the Neal Clinic, I make sure I send every one of our new patients home with one of my famous ice packs and instructions on how I expect them to use it. And that's because proper and frequent applications with our ice packs will help decrease the inflammation. And the best part about these are that you can be using these while you're at home or in your office, so you can be helping us help you while you're not even in the clinic. Your chiropractor is also going to use spinal manipulation. You know, most people call these adjustments, to help take pressure off that irritated nerve, as well as to make sure the rest of the joints in your neck and your upper back, well, that they're functioning properly as well. And that's because when you have tissue damage, one of the ways your body is going to respond is by what's called a guarding response. The muscles around that area that are injured, well, they're going to tighten up as this protective mechanism. And when this occurs, those surrounding joints above and below the injury, well, now they're not moving as they should, right? They're kind of out of alignment and not functioning well. And if you leave that stuff untreated, it's going to result in them degenerating just like the area that's already injured. So, you know, when you're in my clinic, we get amazing results with these conditions using our class 4 laser. So I'll typically recommend patients having, you know, a few sessions of these laser treatments along with their adjustments. And patients love these things because they feel better, so much better, and are able to get back to, you know, their job or their sport, whatever their activity is. They get back to doing this quicker when we use that laser therapy. I get referrals all the time from other doctors who know that we have one, we actually have two of these lasers, because it, you know, we had one and had to get another because we used it so often. But these other doctors know how well these lasers work and that their patients can benefit from them. So it's very rare that we don't go a week without getting a referral for somebody coming in saying, hey, my doctor, my chiropractor wanted me to come here and get some of these laser therapy treatments because they thought I could help, or you could help my condition with those. Another treatment that I continue to see results with is the activator method of adjusting that I use at the Neal Clinic. Most people are familiar with a more traditional manual style of spinal manipulation or those adjustments. However, as the chiropractic profession progressed and, you know, got a little older, doctors began to utilize different instruments in order to be more specific and precise with their adjusting. And that's exactly what the activator that I use does. It's a handheld instrument that allows me to treat one individual vertebral level at a time with precisely the amount of force that I need. And you don't have to have someone pop or crack your neck. And, you know, many patients say that makes them really nervous. We don't have to do that in order to restore the proper motion and alignment to your joints. The activator also allows me to treat patients that may have, you know, decreased bone density. Maybe they have some osteoporosis or osteopenia. We've talked about that on the show before. These are patients that manually adjusting their spine may cause some fractures. I mean, they may not be a good candidates for that stuff. The activator allows me to work on them. The same thing with people that, you know, maybe they've already had one of those neck surgeries and they've got a couple levels that have been fused. Manually manipulating that may not be recommended for these patients, but I'm able to, with the activator, go specifically to the levels that we need to adjust and use the right amount of force for these patients. It's such a good tool, and that's why we get such good results with that at the clinic. And it's this combination of treatments that allows chiropractic care to be so successful. Chiropractors treat both that physical component as well as the chemical sources for your pain. If you didn't ever address the joint restrictions and the pressure on your nerve from that disc protrusion, you know, you may get some temporary relief from a medication, but guess what? You haven't fixed the source of your pain. You know, so if you've tried Tylenol or Advil, or maybe you've seen a doctor for your neck or arm pain and they prescribe you some medication and it's still not resolved, call your chiropractor. They'll be able to properly examine your neck and fix the source of your problem. And if it's not a chiropractic case, they'll refer you where you need to go. So I touched on it some last week, but another therapy I've been using more and more at the Neil Clinic is this dry needling. And I've been able to treat patients that have had some really stubborn hip or lower back pain, or maybe their shoulders have been hurting and they've tried all sorts of other therapies. They've tried massage, they've tried medications, and they've tried all these creams and ointments, and, you know, they haven't gotten any relief. And the dry needling has finally helped them. One of the things I love about dry needling is that I'm able to incorporate the use of electrical stimulation as well. And that really expands how these needles can be used. Depending on the settings I use, I can do a few different things with this. It's actually called intramuscular electrical stimulation. I call it IES. The needles are the same, right? I'll insert the needles into the muscular regions that are being affected, but then I attach these really small alligator clips. It's kind of similar to the ones you jump your car battery off with, but they're much smaller. And I attach those to the needles. This allows that electric current to penetrate deep into your tissue and into your musculature. Now, there's a couple different IES protocols that allow me to do different things. I can activate muscles that may have begun to kind of atrophy, or maybe they're not firing properly. Or I can change the settings and use it to fatigue a muscle that's really, really tight and just won't relax. You know, you're like, I got this knot in my shoulder and I just can't get it to calm down. Another really popular treatment technique I've been using allows me to activate your body's natural pain relievers. We're going to release enkephalins and endorphins, the beta endorphins, that stuff that your body naturally produces to help with pain. And Jenna's telling me I'm running out of time, and I didn't get to talk as much about the peanut butter and jelly as I wanted to, but I'll give you the quick hits right now. The study found that older adults with arthritis had really good outcomes with chiropractic care in conjunction with rehab and physical therapy. Just like a peanut butter and jelly goes together, that chiropractic care and exercise works really, really well. Well, I'm out of time for this week, and I want to thank all of you for listening this morning. Again, my name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and I own the Neil Clinic. We're located on Creighton Road, right across the street from Walmart. Give me a call if you want to fix your problem and stop covering it up. Our number is 850-479-2700.